question for you. How do you keep the Sabbath, the fourth commandment? Here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
We have two sort of options in looking at this. We say, well, that's the God of the Old Testament. He's mean, and the God of the New Testament is nice, and therefore we don't want to mess with the God of the Old Testament. We just want to talk to the God of the New Testament. Some have taken that approach. Or we try to bring into view our Sabbath keeping with the same rigor of the Old Covenant. Maybe not stoning, but at least the rigor. So that either way, you're going to end up as a legalist or an antinomian. But we do have to look at this for a moment. This is why I wanted to do it as part of the Old Covenant. What should we answer? Why was the Lord so serious about the Sabbath? That's the question you should be asking in the Old Covenant.
And that is the question we'll address today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon as we continue our look at Exodus, the Ten Commandments. We're on the fourth one, honor the Sabbath day. How does that look? Let's find out.
Look at what life in Leviticus and Numbers was like. This is your God. Christianity then is pitched as a bunch of rules and lists of what can be done and what can't be done. And here we have it. Here it is. This is what you guys claim in your Bible. I said in my last sermon on the subject, even today we struggle with how to process this then. Think about Sabbath discussions in our day. Where do Sabbath discussions always go? It's always about, now maybe not in Southern California, but at least it was for me up north. It's always about whether you could mow your lawn on Sunday. That seemed to be the extent of Sabbath discussion, what we can't or what we can't do. We've had this same sort of approach to looking at this. We look at this in the old and we read this and we think, okay, well, this is just about the list here, the rules. And God has somehow hemmed us in with the laws and the rules. And doesn't this prove that? Doesn't this prove the very thing that people criticize us for? I mean, the man was just out picking up sticks and he gets stoned for that? Are you kidding me? And you see, we have two sort of options in looking at this. We say, well, like some have done in history, that's the God of the Old Testament. He's mean, and the God of the New Testament is nice, and therefore we don't want to mess with the God of the Old Testament. We just want to talk to the God of the New Testament. Some have taken that approach. Or we try to bring into view our Sabbath keeping with the same rigor of the Old Covenant and consequence. Maybe not stoning, but at least the rigor. So that either way, you're going to end up as a legalist or an antinomian on whatever side you pick. But we do have to look at this for a moment, and this is why I wanted to do it as part of the Old Covenant. What should we answer? Why was the Lord so serious about the Sabbath? That's the question you should be asking in the Old Covenant. And to understand why the Lord was so serious about this, why he commanded that this man be stoned, we have to understand what the Sabbath was commanding. In the commandment itself, you'll notice that God says, "For in 6 days the Lord made heavens and earth, the seas and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day." So he rooted this particular commandment all the way back at the time of creation, and this pattern of work and rest rooted in creation, it was a creation ordinance that was to be normative for life. Genesis 2:1 said, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished, and on the seventh day God ended his work which had been done, and he rested and on the seventh day from all the work which he had done." God rested. God rested. And we find that as he looked over in his rest, his created work and all that he had done, he delighted in that work. He took great delight in the work of his hands. And we know that that end of creation was for the glory of God. This resting told us that the work had been completed and that he was glorified. This work rest pattern was established. And then, of course, and we know in the sixth day, in the making of man, that he created us in his image, that we might image him in this work rest pattern. And that's exactly what happened throughout and what God desired throughout history. God said, "Fill the earth and subdue it." On the seventh day, God rested. The Lord taught the people they were to rest. The implications of that are huge. They were patterning the work-rest pattern of God himself. Now, if you recognize that this was rooted in creation, that this was a normative pattern that God had set up from the beginning, we have to recognize that this principle of 1 and 7 was something that he had established for the benefit of man. Now, let me ask this question. Throughout history, and you can just testify of this in our own day, you know this, what is the one commandment that people do not take seriously? It's this one. I mean, I've already said, if I went through and said, you shall not murder, you all would say, yeah, we shouldn't murder. Commit adultery? No, we shouldn't commit adultery. If steal, you shouldn't steal. Hold up idols in your homes? You'd say no. Everything right down the line, covet. But it comes to the fourth, and this is the one we all fudge on. Enter now Israel put under the law for a minute, so that we would understand something about the command. Do you think the problem was any less for Israel? The problem was great for Israel. The Lord always warned about it, that they should not disregard his Sabbath. It was a big emphasis throughout the Old Testament. So what was really at stake in this case of a man going out and picking up sticks on the Sabbath and receiving the severe blow that he did? Now put breaking of this under Moses, and what do you have? Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do all things written in the book of the law to do them. Cursed. How had this man who had simply gathered sticks broke the Sabbath? What was the Sabbath calling us to do? Take a few verses for a minute. Isaiah 58. If you turn your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Listen to this. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. Consequence. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. That the Sabbath was intended to be something in which we would be able to delight ourselves in him. An opportunity. A day. Set apart to be focused. I want to propose to you three reasons for the Sabbath. Actually, four. As I look at this, the commandment itself and what goes through Israel. One has been presented to you in the commandment itself. It's rest and refreshment. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may rest, and that your son of your female servant and stranger, this is Exodus 23:12, may be refreshed. God knows you need that. God knows you need refreshment. It's for your own good. It extends to your servants. You don't want people working on the Sabbath. What this means is that you are to rest from your ordinary labors, and we shouldn't do those things that would fill our time that we do working the other 6 days of the week. So, but part of the Sabbath, and the Lord knew this, a great benefit of the Sabbath was that you actually would rest your bodies. He cared about that. He wanted you refreshed and your bodies rested. Think about that blessing for a moment. How much do people, and how many problems do people have? I wonder how much stress and tension and health problems because they're not laying hold of the Sabbath. They're running themselves ragged. God knows we need that. Second, the day was ordained as a means for God's people to worship him, to praise him, to be unhindered from all the activities of that fill your work week. If I went through and said, how well did you do in really communing with your Lord throughout the course of the week and all of your busyness of your weeks? How much did you really sit down and read your Bibles and do your devotions? How much did you really pray to the Lord? You probably did not do as well as you wanted. And the psalm, one psalm designated for the Sabbath that we sang before this sermon, the song for the Sabbath, speaks about the blessings of flourishing in the courts of the Lord on the Sabbath day, enjoying the Lord on the Sabbath day, receiving from the Lord a day of rest and convocation and fellowship and assembly together as the people of God. Leviticus speaks of this. Numbers would give in chapters 28 descriptions on bringing offerings to the Lord. They would have readings and prayers, scripture exhortations. We find this in the time of Jesus when he's entering in on the Sabbath in the synagogue. The point is, it was set aside not only as a day of rest, but as a day of worship and of praise and enjoyment as a community, bringing offerings, encouraging one another, stirring one another up, Hebrews, to good works. Third, the Sabbath was instituted as a covenantal sign that you are set apart from the world. Listen to Exodus 31. Surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it's a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. I set you apart. That's why we're here today. We're set apart. There's a visual of this. Set apart to God. You think in Genesis, early on, it says that men began to gather together and call upon the name of the Lord. There was Sabbathing going on. It's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. Why? He goes on to say, for in 6 days the Lord made heavens and the earth. The seventh day he rested and was refreshed. It's a perpetual thing I want you to keep, he said. So not only was it for refreshment, not only should you do it because the Lord your God did it at creation, left you a pattern to imitate, not only because it's a holy day with which you should worship and enjoy him, but it's also a sign that you belong to him. It encourages you that he's meeting with you and has set you apart. Well, that's not enough. There's another reason I found for the Sabbath. Deuteronomy 5. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. Listen to verse 15. And remember that you were a slave in Egypt, in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Why then the Sabbath? The Sabbath functioned as a celebration of the gospel ministry. The Sabbath was always a reminder to them of redemption. They were pulled out from their slavery, their past. We know it all typified slavery and bondage to sin. And it was a reflection of the marvelous deliverance where they passed through the sea, where he drowned Pharaoh and his armies, where they came through victorious on the other side. I brought you out of there. I want a whole day for you because I know how busy you are and I know how hard it is out there. I want you to come together and you remember my love for you. It's the intention. Rest, refreshment, get to imitate and pattern your Creator. A day for spiritual worship, a day to praise and honor him, a day to encourage your brethren, a day of a sign that sets you apart from the world, that you're not of the world, that you don't belong to the world, that you belong to the kingdom of heaven. Even the Synod of Dort said, this same day is consecrated for divine worship, so that in it one might rest from all their servile works. See the whole pattern there, they know, works. With these accepted, works of charity and pressing necessity. There are those works that need to be done. We know that. They've always made that exception. And from those recreations which impede the worship of God, it's the Synod of Dort. Let me sum it up tonight. The Sabbath is an opportunity for you to rest and to love your God with all your time. To love your God with all your time. Now back to this man. Under Moses, the rigor of the law was intended to make people experience the real problem of the human heart. The Lord wanted you all to know the real problem of the human heart when you look at this Old Testament stuff. What's the problem of the human heart? What did the law expose about the human heart? What's wrong with this man? Doesn't it show and say something that the Lord went to all this care to explain that he's giving this command to be a blessing for his people? Doesn't it show how alienated in the heart we are from God? That he gives us this festive day of delight in him, and we will do all we can to take a break from him. That's it. We will do all we can to not have to do this. I've noticed some people who love to take vacations just to escape worship. It wasn't that he picked up sticks, yes and no. It was that 6 days he was called to work, and he completely disregarded what the Sabbath was intended to bring him. It was a display of where his heart is. A man gathering sticks would not let go of his bondage and his own will. It exposed the disregard of his own problem. When God was offering him a rest from his sinful ways, he was rejecting the gospel. And many people choose that. Jay Dalma said, "Someone who wants to keep control of his own affairs would experience the interruption of his daily duties on the Sabbath as a hindrance." That is so good. Dalma's right. True joy means we have to be able, and true observance is that we're letting go of the ordinary concerns when the Lord's day comes. And it's the best thing for us. It's joy. Dalma says it presupposes that we enjoy other people. It requires the mutual encouragement among the saints, a day for communion of the saints, a day for the covenantal sign that we are giving. Think of the witness to our neighbors of coming and gathering together. Think of that simple witness of coming and gathering together out from the world as the people of God. I remember growing up, and there was always our neighbors watching us drive off to church. That was a good thing. That was a good thing. We wanted to invite them, and we did. Dalma says this enjoyment, this festive Sabbath, requires that we devote Sunday to God. It's a day for worship, prayer, and praising God. Now, we just considered in Mark's gospel, Jesus walking through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and he was accused for breaking the Sabbath, for plucking heads of grain when his disciples were hungry. What was in his heart? Pure love. Pure love for God. Pure love for man. And he had come to fulfill this. And fulfilling that for us, giving us that rest, becoming our rest. He is our Sabbath. He then gives back to us, set in freedom, having a righteousness from him, the blessing of its original intention in the new covenant. I want us to understand that. What was Jesus constantly doing? Well, he was fixing the original intention of things in the Gospels. Think about divorce. Divorce happens. Pharisees were divorcing for any reason. A man could put away his wife for any reason because of, under the old covenant, the hardness of their hearts. Heart problem. Moses had to write certificates of divorce. And what did Jesus say? From the beginning, that was not so. Not God's design. What do we have here? From the beginning, the same is true from the Sabbath. The Sabbath was always intended to be a blessing, and our sin wrecked it. Our sin wrecked the design. And Jesus came to fulfill it, pay for our sins, give us righteousness, and recover the blessing of it. That's the beauty of this. So that our Heidelberg has a whole different feel in the celebration of it, doesn't it? What does God require of you? That the gospel be maintained. The ministry of the gospel in schools be maintained. On this day of rest, that I attend worship. Is it a burden to come up to the house of the Lord? Is it a burden to come and enjoy him? That I, listen to this, diligently attend church to hear God's word. What have we been emphasizing so much in Mark 4? Hearing God's word. To use the sacraments. What are sacraments? Signs and seals of grace to you. This is his gospel promises being illustrated. He's wanting to help and encourage and strengthen you. To call publicly on the Lord. We get to come together and as a body call upon him, and he hears our prayers and strengthens us going out into a new week. We get to give offerings for the poor. We don't really take that as seriously as we should. Think of the blessing of that. You get to put in and give offerings to all these hurting people, and God establishes a church and gives deacons to serve to determine best how to use your monies, that we would help people. That's part of the encouragement and helping people. And that all the days of my life I'm being taught to rest from my evil works, the Lord working in me through his Holy Spirit, and so begin, think of this beautiful statement, begin in this life the eternal rest. If you don't like it now, what do you think eternity is? The eternal rest. And think of the glory of this thought, that in the old covenant they had to work 6 days and then rest. In the new covenant we gather on a different day for this reason. That what? They had to work 6 days and and then rest. We rest, hearing of all the grace and strength and gospel of Jesus Christ, and then go out and work. Why? Because we're free. You're free. You're free in his death and resurrection. I hope that gives you a more positive treatment tonight of the Sabbath. There's so much more to say, but I hope it encourages you to set apart this day of rest, anticipating the eternal day of rest. It's his desire to refresh you, to help you, to strengthen you. It's a sign that you belong to him, that you've been redeemed. Enjoy it. We say, what is the chief end of man? To glorify God. What is the hardest thing that we have to do? To just enjoy him. And this is an opportunity for you to do that. All anticipating a day when you will actually see your Savior face to face in glory and enjoy your eternal rest. Let's pray to him together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day of rest. And thank you that we live in the time in which we live. You show us through this being under the law and the old covenant, the rigors, and it really does expose the hardness of our own hearts. But Jesus came to give us hearts of flesh, as we talked about tonight, by the power of your Holy Spirit, regenerated hearts, so that now our wills would be bent to enjoy and honor what you desire for us in freedom, in peace, in joy. And so open that to our hearts and minds. Let this not be a burden, but may we, as was the intention from the old when you said we should call the Sabbath a delight, may we do that. Loving and worshiping you, anticipating entering into our eternal rest that is held out for us in Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
And amen. A clear look at the fourth commandment in our Ten Commandments series, keeping the Sabbath holy. We trust you have been thoughtfully and thoroughly encouraged by today's program. Pastor Chris will be back in just a moment here on today's broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio. We thank you for spending time with us today. It is always our hope and our earnest prayer that our time together encourages you in your walk and relationship with Christ. Now, to that end, we have a variety of ways that you can reach out to us, along with a variety of tools that you can use throughout the week to further encourage your walk and relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Reach out to us on our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or if you prefer, give us a call, 888-504-8805. Now, Abounding Grace Radio can be found on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can even visit our website for links to these platforms that you like to follow. Again, agradio.org. You'll also find Pastor Chris's blog there. We do have downloads of previous messages that you've heard here on the program. And if you're interested in redirecting some of your financial resources to Abounding Grace Radio, AG Radio is listener-supported. You, along with others, have seen the value of this program and how it speaks into your life spiritually. So if you're someone who sees the value of this program for your growth in Christ, get in touch with us. No gift is too small or too large, either a one-time gift or reoccurring. It all sustains this program right here on this station. You can donate online at agradio.org or call 888-504-8805, or lick a stamp and send a check through the mail. Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And by the way, if you've got a question for Pastor Chris, he'd love to hear it. Simply fire up your voice memo app on your smartphone, record your question, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. It's that simple. If we play your question on the air, we'll let you know when and send you an email back. Well, tomorrow we continue our look at the Ten Commandments, number 5, honor your father and mother. Once again, here's Pastor Chris.
One of the things we've lost today is an understanding of the covenantal responsibility to train them and nurture them in the home. We used to think that the earth was the center of the universe and we were wrong. So now we think the children are the center of our universe, and we need to get back to the Lord being the center.
Recovering the heart of what the fifth commandment is teaching. Tomorrow on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday.
That's right, Chris, we would. And our worship services, because of the heat and earlier darkness, begin 9:30 for the morning service and 3 p.m. for the evening service. And both are held under the tent at Calvin Christian. Well, here's Pastor Chris once again. If you'd like to know more, with information on how to reach out to us,
you can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.